Just thinking about this morning and our time together, I just felt it so important with all that's going on all around us that we should be just thinking about the one who sustains us. And Hebrews 12 speaks about looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Sometimes I think in life and the changes that we see in our own personal lives and the lives of those around us, our heads drop and we consider everything that we are faced with rather than the one who is ahead of us. And these words from Philippians really came to mind this morning, speaking about Jesus, who being in the very nature God, think about that, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. He gave up his reputation. And taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Just for a moment, let's just draw near to God as he draws near to us, as we think about Jesus giving up heaven, being with his Father in purity and holiness, and coming to this earth, facing the evil, the consequences of sin, facing accusers who would accuse him of doing something that he didn't do, and facing the cross, and the Bible says he opened not his mouth. And Father, we thank you that Jesus did everything to make sure that he went to the cross, that nothing would stop his focus on what he came to this earth to do, to give his life a ransom for many. And we thank you today, Father, that we can come into this house and that we can say, yes, we believe in Jesus. Yes, we acknowledge him as our Lord and our Saviour. We declare his majesty today. We praise his name today. We exalt his name together because we know that death could not hold him, but you raised him from the dead. And we thank you that he ascended into heaven and one day he's coming again. Until then, Lord, we thank you that you give us the ability to walk by faith and not by sight, to be encouraged in your word and by your spirit, and to know that in all things, Jesus Christ will be glorified in his church and beyond. Today, on this, the Lord's day. Amen. Who knows? Psalm 133, again, this really came to mind. Thinking about that word fellowship. The word fellowship means participation, really. It's about participating together. And I suppose the early church, there was a lot of things happening all at the same time. I think that's why Paul had to intervene and say what was orderly and what wasn't. And here these words, how good and pleasant it is when brothers, sisters live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the head, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. This word unity. We're going to talk about unity this morning, but in a slightly different way, and about how we can agree together and also disagree together humbly, acknowledge in one another. And I don't really think, to be honest, that I've ever been in a meeting where there's been so much blessing of God. Very few times I think I've experienced the real blessing and anointing of God in times when people are in harmony. I have to say the times that I've experienced them are right here in Lidbrook. But there are many churches today where people are not in unity and they don't know that blessing. That blessing of the Lord is, as it were, a weight from heaven comes down upon us. It's so important. Brothers dwell in unity. God commands a blessing. Psalm 119 is a lovely long psalm. We're not going to read 174 verses, but there's just a few verses, again, that came to me this morning that I think are quite appropriate as we journey in these in our lives today and some of the issues that we're facing. And it's verse 89 of Psalm 119 that I'd like to begin reading. Psalm 119, verse 89. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It's amazing, isn't it? God's word is eternal. It'll never fade, will it? And it's more up to date than today's newspaper. There you go. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Think about that. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I want us just to think about those words. Everything that God does is permanent. You know, our lives are short, relatively speaking. And yet everything about God is permanent. And just jumping to verse 97, as if the psalmist had some kind of revelation from these words, and he said, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. Oh, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." What a wonderful revelation. The psalmist declares they're meditating on his word all day long. Imagine that. You know, sometimes I think we read a portion of the Bible and pray and then we move on in life. But to allow the word of God to instruct our hearts, our minds, so that in every situation we face, that word can come to mind, that the Lord loves me. And his word is sweeter than any aspect of my life. The Lord is for me, not against me. We get revelation from God's word. Revelation in individual and corporate situations that we never thought we would experience at times of great difficulty. And the word just comes in like a flood. I think, yes, God is with me in this. When he says, I have more insight than all my teachers, he wasn't boasting because he's just meditating on the Word of God. And when we think about the Word of God when it's preached, it's always a good thing to reflect on what the preacher is saying. In the scriptures, we see that the Bereans, that they would hear Paul preach, but they would go home and they would search the scriptures for themselves to see that what he was saying was actually true. And I think sometimes those of us that stand and preach, like Paul says, I have to preach to myself. I beat my own breast, as it were, so I come under the sound of that word. Equally, I don't think we should just take every word from the platform as being always from God. And even just to check it out for ourselves. Let us pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, we recognize that we can sing these words, and sometimes we're not always convinced of your goodness. Lord, sometimes in the seasons that we go through, we do wonder where you are, where your goodness is being displayed, and the times we find ourselves, as the Psalms so clearly declare, that heavy hearts and heavy minds bring about a sense of despair. We sing of your goodness, Lord, and in the midst of some dark moments in our lives and the seasons of our lives, we can see that flicker of light when you just prompted us that your presence was very real. Maybe in a song, maybe in reading your word, maybe a word from a friend or a member of the fellowship. Lord, we thank you for the glimpses of your goodness, even in times of great darkness. And so, Father, we look to you, and we, by faith, look to you, because we know that you have a purpose and a plan for our lives. You have certain things laid out before us that we have yet to see for ourselves. But we put our faith in you, Lord, because we know that you are doing all things to ensure that you reflect your goodness in our lives, and that we, in turn, declare your praises. Thank you for all that you do, Lord. At times, then we don't realize it. The moment that our eyes were awakened this morning, the beginning of this day, didn't just happen, Lord, but you made it so. You caused the sun to shine, you caused it to set. And you have given us this day where we have come to worship you. And Lord, as we come before you today, we pray that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For our lives and for our friends, our families, and those we know and love, we pray your hand upon them and your blessing upon them. We pray for this church that you would grant vision and purpose in the days to come as we face the challenges of an ungodly society. We pray for those of our fellowship who we've lost and how we miss them and how we sense that without them we are not quite the same as we were. But we thank you, Lord, that they are in glory, worshipping you day and night, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so, Lord, in our lives today and in this church and in this community, we pray that your will be done. Pray for those in authority, that they would lead lives that reflect goodness and quality and integrity. We pray for Israel, and we pray for the blessing of Israel, even though we may not fully understand the Middle East in its context. We pray for Iran and the situation with America, Russia, Ukraine, and other aspects of the world, Father, that seem to be beyond us and yet are brought very close to us through the media. We pray that you, O God, would have your way. Have your way, we pray, Lord, today. And so as we come before you, Lord, we bring our own lives to you. We realize, Lord, that the flicker of faith sometimes dies and we lose our way. But we pray that our eyes would be open to the revelation of what you would want to say to us today. Because, Lord, you're a God who is not only good, but one who speaks. And we open ourselves to the voice of heaven this morning. Because we know, O God, that you speak into our situations because you know us better than we know ourselves. We thank you that your word says you know our heart. You know our heart, Lord. You know when we sit, when we rise, you perceive our thoughts from afar. You know every word we're going to say before we say it. Lord, you are constant, consistent, omnipresent God. And we wholly recognize your presence here. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Cleanse us afresh, Lord, from doubt and fear, for things, Lord, we have said and done that we regret. Renew a right spirit within us, Lord. Have your way among us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us as we forgive those, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. In one way, I'm reluctant to go through reams of notes that I've got for this morning's word. Because I sense the general... You know, this Holy Spirit is gentle. He is gentle. And we've heard over the last few weeks from Trevor and from Keith different aspects of the Holy Spirit. I know the original version speaks about the Holy Ghost. And that's put a fear in some people, a bit spooky. But the Holy Spirit is gentle. John 14, or is it John 15, where he speaks of the Holy Spirit as the paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the counselor, and the one that points us to Jesus. It's interesting, Kath, you shared about fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, you know. When some people think, well, I don't understand tongues, I don't understand all this sort of, like I once went to a Pentecostal church and they were all singing in tongues and their hands were in the air, then they had to take up the offering, so it was hands down, we'd take up the offering. And I think we can get caught up with all the emotions of what we don't understand, and the Holy Spirit has had bad press, I have to say, over the years. And I'm not going to share what I had in mind for this morning, it can wait for another day. But I think the gentleness of the Holy Spirit to come and counsel us. That word counsel is so important at times when we need it, particularly the situation that Tony and Kath are in, that you do need the counsel of the Spirit to guide you into that place that God has prepared for you. And of course, he has prepared it for you in advance. You just need to find what it is. And I think there's just something about the Holy Spirit that we can read passages of Scripture, we can read accounts that we know only too well, and sometimes God opens our eyes to something we've read many, many times before. And looking at Acts chapter 1 and Acts 2, where we see the disciples waiting, as the Lord had said, you know, wait for that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They were waiting, and they all came together in one accord, and they all prayed together. And that amazing thing, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And I just think there's some principles there. I think when we speak about unity and when people pray together, they stay together. You know, we have our regular prayer meeting on a Monday, and it's so important that we continue to pray for the church and for the area. And as yet, we're probably not seeing a great outpouring of revival yet. But we believe that we need to press on and press in to God and allow His Spirit to lead us. But I'm not going to talk about what I've got in mind. I'm going to skip that. You might say, well, it's not that good anyway, but there we are. Just to Galatians, just for a moment. I'm not going to go to the obvious one, about the fruit of the Spirit. But it says here, since in Galatians 5, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, this is Galatians 5, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, how do we live? You know, when we pray to God and when we open our heart to God, we invite the Holy Spirit to instruct us on the things that God has in mind for our time of prayer, waiting on the Lord to hear His voice. Sometimes when we pray a long list of things that we have before us, praying for our relationships, our friends, our church, our community, and so on. But are we praying what God wants us to pray for? You see, since we live by the Spirit, it's the Spirit that intercedes on our behalf. In Romans 8, where it speaks about he even if we can't pray or verbally say something, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, and He speaks to God on our behalf, because we can't formulate sometimes how we feel and how heavy burdens that we share do weigh us down. Sometimes we can't express it, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Since we live by the Spirit, and I love this, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I remember when I was in the Boys Brigade, and we used to have, in fact, we were talking about this the other day, he was talking about the days of the mods and rockers. And the question was asked to me, what did I get up to when I was young? And I looked at Margaret, I thought, I don't think I ever did anything really wrong. Except, I mean, look at me. Yeah, thanks, Ellen. And I don't think, and Terry was saying how he'd go into Ross and he'd meet up with the wrong people and they would have a fight. And I think, I missed all of that. And Margaret on the way home said, well, we were always at church. And it's right, a Boys Brigade. On a Friday night was Boys Brigade parade night. And on Sunday morning was Bible class. And I always remember marching round the streets of Tuffley, where we lived, looking at Deborah and Nigel, you know what I mean about Boys Brigade. And we used to parade every month round, and the band would play. And I remember one occasion where the person with the mace out front, and he would throw it up and sometimes wouldn't catch it. There we are. And there we have one chap in the parade, one of the lads, he couldn't march. And of course, you know, it's sort of like this, isn't it? But he was going like this. And it was so funny. He was completely out of step because he couldn't do it. And although we found it funny at the time, obviously it was quite serious. And it just reminds us from this about keeping in step with the Spirit. You know, whatever our lives have been, or whatever our lives are at the moment, is being aware of what the Spirit might be saying. What is the Spirit saying to our church? We're praying that the Spirit would speak to Joy about how she sees the future. We need clarity of the direction that we're going and how she sees her work in the community. So when we pray, let's pray according to the Spirit, but let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's very easy to get out of step, I think. Like that lad that would, you know, march like that. And also when he went up for his medals, he went the shortest way up and the longest way down instead of that way. But there we are. But I think it's a silly illustration, I know, but it keeps us in mind with the thought that we can easily be out of step with the Spirit, particularly when we're at odds with others and maybe family members, or maybe there are times when we have to put certain situations right with family members. We have to take the initiative if we've been out of step with them, because God wants us to keep in step with his Spirit. And he goes on just to say, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, it goes on to talk about helping and supporting one another, carrying each other's burdens. In this way, we fulfill the law of Christ. Didn't expect to say these words this morning, but I believe it's what the Lord would want us to think about, what it means. Not to be fearful of the Holy Spirit. Not to expect the Spirit to do something bizarre. I mean, we've been in church services, I have to say, where we've had children prophesying. We've been in services where people have been prayed for and they've completely gone over without having support. And they've been particularly... Holy Spirit has helped them. You know, we've been in services like that. I was talking to Keith about this, Keith Bushell, the other week, and I said, and he told me the story about somebody that had an accident on the way to the church service, and he was hit in his head, but he went on to the church, and the authorities were told to get an ambulance. The ambulance came, and it was one of these services where the Holy Spirit was moving. There was a number of people lying on the floor, and the ambulance people came in, didn't know which one to go for. But that was the story of Keith. I don't know quite how true that is. But let's keep in step with the Spirit, and let us enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Well, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, that, and the list goes on against such things. There is no law. So let's just pray for a moment. Just let those words seal, and then we'll close our time together. Father, we are so grateful that we can be led by your Spirit and speak and share and respond in times as your Spirit leads. Help us to understand that you are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and your Spirit teaches us about the future as well. Lord, as we step into the future, as we step into the rest of today and tomorrow, may we know your presence with us and your Spirit leading us. Amen. Amen. Let us say the grace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.